Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the GWCC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. We're on Radio Row. Oh, Jim Gray just yelled and swore at me.
A lot going on in the last five minutes.
We'll get into the Jim Gray stuff in a minute, but we have the...
Jim Gray just started yelling and swearing at me.
Why? Why is that?
I go, you do the interview with Tom Brady. I'm like, you were in this documentary about Tom Brady at Oprah's house. And he goes, yeah. And I go, okay. And he goes, I'm friends with Oprah. And I go,
Really?
And he goes, you have friends that you go to dinner with? And I go, not Oprah.
Like this. I'm sorry, I'm not friends with Oprah.
Wow.
That's Bob the Plumber.
That's big time.
Asking questions that we might thought be interesting, and he was mystified why this questioning would happen
All right, forget it.
So you're in for it, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, Jerry
Rice. I'm down.
Jerry Rice is here.
I'm down.
Are you friends with Oprah?
God. That is major.
That was strange. And like, I don't even know where it came from.
I guess I haven't done anything.
Really?
That'd be like us going, nothing
at all.
That'd be us like going, hey, yeah, so how about the Super Bowl? Well, you played high school football. Yeah.
What, it just isn't of yours, you know?
Man.
Well, Jerry, we will make sure that this interview goes a lot better than the last one. So this is, I mean, I got to tell you, Jerry, this is going to be an interesting Super Bowl because everyone's now talking about your record versus Julian Edelman postseason.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you're in first, he's in second, but you're in first by a mile.
Yeah, he cannot catch
you. No one will ever catch you.
Right.
Yeah. But it's got everyone talking and saying, like, can a guy like Edelman, with the numbers that he has in the postseason, can he ever be in the Hall of Fame? And when you watch him play.
I really think you got to start looking at those slot receivers. You know,
is it unfair that they get
Wes Welker, Amendola, all of those guys. Edelman is that go-to guy. You hear this thing all the time saying, like, with the Patriots, they don't have a go-to guy. This guy's nasty on the football field. He takes the hits. He jumps up. You know, he wants the ball. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of appreciation for him.
Why do you,
you know,
think
his heart.
Why do they get so disrespected, slot receivers?
I don't know, man. I don't even know with the committee of the Pro Football Hall of Fame how they decide who's going to go in.
It sounds like a tedious process. Yeah, they like lock themselves in a room.
Yeah, I don't know because even leading right up to the Super Bowl, my announcement, I was not sure. To be honest with you, and I tell people that today, and they say, "Well, you know, what do you mean? You were like a lock in."
Yeah,
I didn't know, but that was the same approach that I took when I got drafted. You know, I didn't think I was going to get drafted in the first round. You know, you always try to set yourself just in case it doesn't happen, but you got to start looking at those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that would you say that if you're a slot receiver, I mean, the punishment that these guys take when they get like...
Oh, yeah, because you're dealing with safeties, you're dealing with linebackers, all of that. And, you know, but, you know, in the West Coast offense, we had to be able to cross the middle.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, so when you look at modern-day players and the way that they call pass interference and the way that they call helmet-to-helmet, because we have guys on all the time that played back in the
don't
day.
Don't get hit.
Do you just go, what's going on? And if I played it during that...
Of course I do. Yes, I do. I'm like, man, I was never protected that way.
Yeah, and then think of, like, your numbers if they called games like they did now. Yeah. I mean, it would be even more so.
Yeah, if I break down this game coming up, if you give Edelman 5 yards, mm-hmm. you're done.
Yep.
If right. you give Gronk 5 yards, you're done. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it's like when I played, and it's almost like prehistoric now. When I played, the defensive back was right up in your face. It was a fight all the way downfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I was on the left side and the ball was being thrown on the right side, I was still getting hit yeah. on the backside.
Sure.
Right.
So it's the way they protect players and all of that now. But, you know, you still got to go out and play the game.
Can you identify with what the Patriots are going through now, where at the beginning they were, like, lovable when they formed their first ring, and by the end everyone's like, these damn 49ers, these the Patriots, it's like, we need someone else to win.
I was saying that on the East Coast, these damn 49ers.
I'm sorry. Hey, I wouldn't have a problem with that, what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
No, not at all. You know, you try to win as many rings that, you know, that you can. And, you know, right now with Tom Brady, I think he's 41 right now. He still wants to play. He's the leader of that team. And then you got Bill Belichick, great, you know, chemistry together. So this is not going to go away. You know, I think this team, they're going to continue to win Super Bowls.
Yeah, because you were rocking the 3 Super Bowl rings and the MVP ring all in one hand recently.
Yeah, you know, because this is what I do. I like to wear my rings. I like to bring all my rings, and I like to give it to fans so they can take pictures.
Oh.
So
has anyone taken off?
Oh, they can't outrun me. What are you talking about, man?
Well, I mean, how old are you
still,
now, Jerry?
I can still run.
When's the last time you timed yourself in the 40? When's the last time you timed yourself in the 40?
I couldn't run. Look, come on. I couldn't run a 40-yard dash when I played football.
Yeah.
No, you know, no. Well, if I lined up and you wanted me just to run the 40, but when I put on that uniform, it's like I became Superman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, if you are chasing me to hurt me, yes, I'm going to run a 4-1-4-2.
There's fear.
Well, you understand.
Hang on a second.
Yeah. You had that crazy workout regimen, right, where you, like, ran those hills and everything?
Yes. And I think that really kept me around for over 20 years.
Yeah, especially with the way the league was.
You can come run the hill with me. I don't have a problem with that. I'm still running the hill.
Oh, I run hills. You wouldn't believe it.
Fred would crush you.
You too big time for me.
You don't let my man breast fool you. I can run a hill.
I had read something about your speed came from, I don't know if it was just like a little.
From chasing horses?
Well, it was the horses one, but then apparently you were running from the principal when you were in school.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I just had football speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got criticized when I came out of college because everyone said he doesn't have that blazing speed. I was with probably one of the best receivers yesterday, Steve Largent.
Right.
And I used to watch Steve Largent back in the day, man, and how he would run his routes, get off the ball, make catches, get hit. But he was one of those guys that was, you know, he was just incredible on the football field. I don't think football is all about just having, you know, speed.
Yeah. Okay, so when you watch now, like Jimmy Garoppolo is now a 49er. What do you think the future holds for a guy like that? We've seen, all of us have seen very little tape on him because he's just played a few games with the Patriots.
And got hurt.
Much like he did there. But do you see something special in him from the little bit that you've seen?
He got hurt, but, man, he got paid.
He got paid well.
But my thing is with Jimmy G, I mean, what he brought to that team, because all of a sudden you saw flashes of the Niners. They started winning football games. And he makes everybody better around him. And that's why now, you know, I'm pushing so hard for, you know, AB. AB got in touch with me. A lot of people are angry with me because they feel like I'm trying to pull AB to San Francisco. But it's something that he wants to do.
So he called you, Antonio Brown called you.
He called me. He said, Jerry, you know, like, you know, this and that is gone, you know, going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, I just want to just maybe get a fresh start. I said, man, if you came to San Francisco and with Jimmy G right now and, you know, George Kittle, we got a good running game. We started, you know, to get pieces of the puzzle right now. Man, you could do unbelievable things in San Francisco.
And you would mentor him, you said.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And we had always, like, talked back and forth. And this guy, you know, he's all about just hard work and I think he just wants to be appreciated.
What advice would you give Antonio Brown? I mean, a guy who's like one of the best in the game right now, what advice would you give him, the greatest of all time?
I think a lot of guys, they just want to pick my brain. And they want to know how could you sustain for so many years in that era. And what did you have to sacrifice? And I tell people today that, you know, I had a great supporting cast. I give all the credit, you know, to my teammates. But I love the game of football. I love it. I miss it. I played it for a long time. I enjoyed those tour days doing training camp, all of that stuff. Now, they, you know,
training camp was different.
They said almost nobody.
They can't even do that anymore.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You enjoyed it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, we have Troy.
Come on.
We have Troy Brown on every week, and he's a great guy. But he, like, is so angry at training camp.
He hated it.
Yeah, because he hated it.
Yeah, he hated it. No, but I would go early. You know, the rookies would go like a week before. I would show up, and the coaches, they would get so mad at me. Like, Jerry, why are you here so early? So, but I just love training camp because I think it just got me ready for the entire season.
Now, did you talk to anybody with the 49ers organization and say, man, you need to make something work with Antonio Brown?
I just got in touch with John Lynch and said, this guy, he really wants to come on board. So you guys have to make a decision. I know it's not up to me, but he has a legitimate passion, and he wants to be a San Francisco 49er.
As a Patriots fan, I say thank you. I would love to get him the hell out of the AFC.
No interest in seeing that guy ever again.
So please keep pushing. That would be nice.
Jerry Rice, you are here. You have two bottles of Hennessy.
Oh, yeah, Hennessy, baby.
What is the deal with Hennessy?
Well, guys, you know, I think there are so many variety of cognac, and cognac is a brandy. It's made in Cognac, France. For over 250 years, they have celebrated Hennessy, you know, with their customers. And the customers, it's like that never stop, that never settle attitude. Mm-hmm. And that was something for me, never stop, never settle. You know, I always felt like I could do more. And, you know, if, you know, for the big game coming up, I love Hennessy XO, which is extra old.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Fancy
I'm
man.
Extra old, baby.
He's a man of class.
But you can go to Hennessy.com/US, you know, and get all the details. But, yeah, I'm glad to be here and be a part of this. But, man, I would love to be on that football field.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And to catch a ball from Tom Brady.
You think he's good?
Oh, yeah.
You think he's better than Montana?
I was just going to ask that.
You know, I think it's like it's a different era. But what he's doing is just amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's unbelievable. You got to give this guy credit for what he's doing. But, you know, him and Montana, I think you have to put him up there.
Montana's kind of weird, right? Like, he could be in the middle of the most, like, pressure-filled moment, and it always looked like he was just, looking at the trees.
But Tom is the same way. I mean, every time, okay, corn toss, you win the corn toss in overtime. You know, just he has this air about him, this confidence.
Scary a little
that,
bit.
You know what? You know, like, man, hey, you guys are done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's something, that's greatness right there. And so you got to give him his just due.
But he's important, too. I mean, Joe was done by 37 to 38.
The roles were also different.
I played into my 40s, too.
Yeah.
I was the oldest guy in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I was the oldest player to score a touchdown.
Look at you.
hey, but I didn't. Hey, look, Oprah didn't call me up.
It's some crazy piece of
stuff. I didn't get a call from Oprah.
I know.
That guy's a piece of crap.
You were like great mouthwash. Like after
seriously.
I mean, what a cleansing.
Thank God you showed up when you did. Honestly, God.
We'll wrap up. Jerry Rice, it's been an honor, a pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
We appreciate it. And if you wouldn't mind taking a quick photograph.
I don't take pictures of many people. Come on. I'm taking a picture.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Toucher at the GWC, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
All right. 985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We're live from Super Bowl Radio Row. We are kind of
What a joy Jerry Rice is, okay?
All right.
Just Jerry Rice, start with that.
We have to address something, and Jerry Rice was here, and he was awesome, but we weren't able to talk about what happened at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, and that was, okay, so to set everything up, walking behind us at Radio Row, people randomly walk by, and they do interviews and things like that. So I walked over. I saw Jim Gray. Now, Jim Gray, of course, is the guy who on Westwood One constantly, you know, once a week interviews Tom Brady. And, you know, he's done, like, some, like, appearances with him before on stage, and he does the namby-pamby interview. Remember, we played some of the clips. So we're like, all right, let's talk to him. So Jim Gray sits down, if you didn't hear it, and the first question Fred asks was, so when Tom Brady did this Super Soul Sunday special with Oprah Winfrey, it was very strange because he was being interviewed in the woods, and behind the camera it pans over and you see Giselle, you see the cameraman, and there was only one other person, and it was Jim Gray. And Fred said, so, okay, so now why were you a part of the taping? And he said, Oprah asked me to dinner. And we said, okay, so what, like, did you just get to the dinner really early? And he said, or maybe they were very late. All right, all right. We followed up one more question, and he goes, and he gave like a one-word answer, and Fred goes, it sounds like you don't really want to be here right now, because he was like very standoffish. And he ended up like going off on Fred. And then finally, Fred's like, listen, you obviously don't want to do this interview, so we're going to go ahead and cut it off now, and we would go to commercial. What happened during the commercial, or the headlines, was he stood up and started yelling at Fred and me, and then said, I turned to him, I said, we weren't trying to, like, hijack you or anything. This is just, you were being very evasive. You didn't answer the question, so we wanted to cut it off and let you go about your day, and then we would move on because Jerry Rice is waiting. And then he said, well, I want you to know that your show has a blank reputation. And I was like, what? And he started yelling at us. Apparently on Twitch, they could see him yelling at Fred while Joe Walk was through the headlines, and the mics were off. And then he says, I want to talk to your program director. And starts talking to our program director. And to that, were we in the wrong at all? Anyone want to call? 617-779-0985. I'm looking at all our producers saying no. And like, unfortunately, our program director was, you know, trying to work with Jerry Rice people, so he didn't hear it. So he's having to hear Jim Gray tell like the story as if we went and like
it was 2 minutes.
It was awful.
It was a 2 minute
interview. 2 minutes long.
That I did is say it's obvious you don't want to be here, and then I said let's go to headlines.
We literally asked him three, maybe four questions, and
there was nothing that I said or that Ridge said that was in any way talking down to him or in any way insulting to him.
And here's my opinion.
And then I don't know.
He immediately was here going, I'm going to make this miserable because now I'm hearing that he knew our show and like people like sent him clips and he's like says we have a bad reputation. I mean, you say we have a blank reputation. Like, whose fault is that? We were trying to have like an open conversation. It was literally the first question we asked, and he was standoffish. Are we in the wrong at all? 617-779-0985. So it was weird. Jerry Rice had to see that too. Like, I mean, like him and Fred were like, and Fred's like, dude, you didn't want to answer questions. We cut it off because you obviously wanted other places to be. And we have Jerry Rice, and he couldn't get over it. So for 15 minutes, he was chewing our program director's ear off. Who I feel bad. I apologize because he doesn't need that today. We're all kind of busy.
All right. But I can't get calls on here, so just start taking calls.
Yeah, just start at the top. Let's go to
all right, where are we at? Who can answer the phone in there for and put it on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, what's up?
This is Scott from Virginia, and I just wanted to let you know that you all were in the right. I mean, there was obviously nothing that you guys did wrong. You guys were interviewing him, and he was totally, as Rich had mentioned, was standoffish. Well, you guys didn't know this, but over Rich's left shoulder, we could see Jim Gray pointing and gesturing and obviously talking to your program director and obviously wasn't happy. But I don't understand why he wasn't happy. I mean, what did you all
do? What else am I supposed to do but end the interview? I mean, he was miserable. Yeah. He didn't want to be here. I mean, there's literally nothing else I can do. Why he was mad, fine. But there's nothing I can do. We didn't insult him. The question was exceptionally valid. And then off the air, I said, here's the reason we asked the question. I said, Tom's a mercurial guy, and, you know, there's not a lot known about him. you know, he's playing in the Super Bowl.
And you're in his inner circle. And we would love to kind of know how the relationship started. And that's when he said, well, you guys have a blank reputation.
So there you go.
So that was weird. And I don't know what kind of world I'm in where he thinks that we were in the wrong there.
All right, take one more call and then we'll get over it. Alan,
what's
hello.
What's up, Alan?
Yeah, you guys are completely in the right. Screw that guy. He's being a prick. Best radio of the morning, though, here, and you cut him off, Red. Thanks for the classic. Get out of here.
All right. Well, thank you.
I think we were also doing him a favor. I thought it was
Rich,
like...
there was nothing else I could do.
Yeah.
What do you want me to berate him? I mean, he came over. All I did was end the interview. I don't know why he's so butthurt about the whole thing.
And by the way, if we had this reputation, why say yes? Why come over?
I don't even think he had a he thinks we had a reputation. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, all right, one more just to make our program feel better.
Right, we're doing this just to make him feel a little bit better. Because what? He just got... by the way, it's ridiculous he had to deal with that. I mean, honestly.
One more. Scott, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Hey, I'm thinking that Jim has a little bit of an argument here. And it starts off by, I think Rich set him off by kind of insulting him and saying that you're with two famous people and then Jim Gray. So when I heard that, I said, you know what? That was a little bit of a dig. And then he kind of baited him by calling him secretive as well. So I think Fred's going to take a lot of the heat with this, but I think it was really Rich that kind of set him off.
I don't think I said two famous people. I said, so you've got Tom Brady and Giselle, and then there's you.
All right. One more. All right.
Now, I did say he was being secretive. I did, because he was. All right. I was like, you're being kind of secretive.
One more. Go ahead. Alan, go ahead. Alan. All right.
By the way, I thought.
Alan, what's up?
What's up, Alan? All right,
take another one.
Not good.
By the way, I thought he was the guy who didn't like namby-pamby interviews. Remember that was his whole thing?
Yes. All right. Well, take one more. Kyla, hello.
Hi. I just listened to that, and he just sounded like such a prick by being like, oh, yeah, no, just not even making a big deal about being at dinner with Oprah. Are you kidding me?
And Tom Brady. And he goes, don't you have dinner with people? And I said, yeah, but not...
two of the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah, the two of the most famous people on the planet. And he goes, well... And then he goes, well, just waiting for dinner. All right.
Yeah,
so
that was such a big move.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else we could have done, but thank you.
Well, there you go. Thank you.
I hope you feel better.
Do you feel better, Mike, a little bit? No.
That's a big head shake right there.
Well, if anything, that was a reason to get on Twitch.
All right.
So, there it is. Twitch.tv. Yeah. Search the sports.
Saw it all right there.
Ron Rivera is going to be joining us here.
Excellent.
New England Volkswagen dealer. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're on Radio Row, thanks to Valvoline Instant Oil Change. And Ron Rivera, coach of the Carolina Panthers, is in the Big Y World Class Market. Guest chair, hello, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are doing well, and it's going to want to talk a little bit about you being on the 85 Bears. And were you involved with the Super Bowl shuffle, first of all?
No, I wasn't.
Are you very happy about that, looking back?
I'm kind of ambivalent, too, because, you know, that thing went platinum.
Yeah.
You know, it won Emmys or Grammys?
Grammy.
It won a Grammy, you know, for Best New Rock Video or something like that. So there's some notoriety to it, but then there's some fame or infamy that goes with being part of it, too, because, believe me, I have no rhythm, and it's a good thing I was not.
Okay, so what was the reaction from the team when someone came and said, guys, there's going to be dancing, and there's going to be rapping?
Well, you know what happened? You know, there had been talk about it the week of the Monday night game against Miami. We lose to Miami on Monday Night Football. It was our only loss that year. We're on the airplane flying home. Willie Gott was one of the organizers, and he was going around trying to get guys to come and show up. Mm-hmm. If you really look at that video, there's quite a number of players who didn't show up for the most part. The offensive line guys didn't show up. Singletary didn't show up. Walter Payton didn't show up. William Perry didn't show up. and Jim McMahon. They had to actually blue screen those guys in.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, it was a huge hit. It was a huge success. And the whole idea was it was being done for charity. And eventually, you know, it was done and became what it is today.
Now, Ditka kind of doubled down and did the
Grabowski shuffle.
remember? Okay, so he does the Grabowski shuffle. Does that, like, get passed around? Does the VHS get passed around the locker room?
Do you lose respect?
Yeah. No, we all just kind of went, wow. You know, it was one of those things that we had a lot of fun with it. Coach Dick had it. You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't realize he has a tremendous sense of humor. He really doesn't. And he was one of those guys that also understood the value of trying to keep everything loose.
Sure.
And he did a good job, but he really did. But, yeah, we all kind of went, wow.
And then we'll get, obviously, to coaching right now. But when you go to Chicago, I don't know if there's a team in history. I can think of, like, no sport in the modern era where a team is that loved still all these years later. So when you go out in Chicago, are you just constantly getting stopped and constantly getting thanked?
I am. I really am, and a lot of us are. You know what's really neat is I did Coach Dicka's charity cigar event last night that he and Ron Jaworski do, and I got to see five of my former teammates on the Super Bowl team, and it was unbelievable. And there were Chicago fans that saw us huddled together and came up and just wanted to take pictures of us. I mean, it was straight for about an hour of just being inundated with Bear fans that wanted to, you know, just come up and talk to us and say hi and shake hands. It was really cool. So when I do go back to Chicago, you know, just being, you know, recognized and then people wanting to shake hands and touch you and stuff, that was really cool. It really was.
So that game against the Patriots, obviously a massive ass-kicking. At what point in the game did you start celebrating?
Once we took the lead.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were arrogant, in all honesty.
7-3? Really?
Yeah.
Well, they knew it was over, John.
Well, for those of us who are Patriots fans,
it was a 50-point spread.
We're dumb enough not to understand.
But you know
that.
What happened? And you can see it on the sideline. So we turned the ball over. New England kicks
the field goal. Yep.
And all of a sudden, just looked at everybody, and everybody just said, all right, here we go. And you could see, I mean, you could feel it. It was like, all right, it's kind of like poking the bear. I mean, literally. The guys went out with a mat on and just played, and it was. And you could see it. You could feel it. And we scored, and everybody goes, all right, we're rolling now. And you could, I mean, you really could feel that energy on the sideline. You know, as a head coach now, you know, there are certain signs that I look for on the sidelines. And when things happen that inflate you, that pump you up, that the momentum swings, you can feel that. And when all of a sudden you get deflated, man, you kind of go, wow. But I'll never forget that feeling after we scored the touchdown. Just everybody just kind of went, and I went, wow, it's on.
You guys got a lot of flack from, of course, New England for when the fridge was given the ball. And
yes.
When that, like they said, that's almost like, you know, you've already beaten us. Now you're like urinating on our grave.
No, it's just one of those things that it was kind of building itself up during the season. You know, we had brought William in. We had handed him the ball off. He had scored touchdowns. So it wasn't anything different or anything new. And really what happened, too, was we knew that they were keying on Walter. You know, and it's, well, I will say this, too, and I know, you know, Williams scored. But one of the things that was really interesting was, you know, later on it kind of became known that Walter wasn't happy. He didn't get a chance to score a touchdown.
Right.
And Mike Dicka came out and said that he still feels that is one of the biggest mistakes he ever made.
Wow. Yeah. Well, okay, so you talk about the momentum and you talk about how when a team gets down, you can tell that they're getting deflated. As a coach, how do you kind of mitigate that?
Well, obviously, you try to create something to happen. I mean, in today's game now, everybody talks about the fourth down analytics.
Right.
You know, going for it on fourth down and being successful, it is kind of like pumping them back up. Why? Because you've just beat them, you know, in terms of getting the first down. Your offense feels like, hey, here we go. We're on a roll now. And if you do score, now the defense goes out there and they're defending something. Now it's slowed down the other team's momentum. So you really do try to find ways to do that, whether it's a trick play, whether it's a big play.
Because you take chances. I mean, obviously, Riverboat.
Well, I mean, that kind of comes back from what happened in 2013. But the
right.
Truth of the matter is, a lot of those things that I did back then really were calculated. I mean,
sure.
I have this list that I go through prior to every game, and it talks about the different situations that may come up. And one of the situations does is fourth down situations. Where do you want to go for it? And I look at this and as a flip card that
I
have.
It's a cheat sheet, essentially.
Yeah, basically. Well, I use it. I look at it, you know, later in the evening on Saturday night after the team meeting. I'll go back to my room probably before I go to bed. I start looking through a couple things, and I will pull that out, and I will go through it. Sunday morning when I'm in my locker room prior to the game, I'll pull it out and I'll go through it one last time. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of thought these things out, and I've said, okay, if we're down by this, you know, what about, you know, using a trick play? What about a fake on special teams? So you do try to stay ahead by going through these things in your mind.
Well, as a player who has obviously won a Super Bowl, and then, you know, as a coach who went to the Super Bowl and then, you know, hasn't gone back since, is it weird when you see the Patriots, somebody who just continue to come back? Is it because it's almost like there's so many other players in the NFL going, do you know how unbelievable it is to get to the Super Bowl?
Believe me, I feel the same way about what Coach Belichick does. I mean, believe me, I've tried to read as many articles that come out about him or that he's been involved with. I've read his book. I listen to what he says in his press conferences, because how he's able to sustain it, believe me, I think is one of the great achievements as coaching.
Does he text you?
Yeah, that's the thing we're learning about. No. Is that he's texted.
He doesn't.
Yeah. No, but I will say this, though. Whenever Coach and I have come across paths, he's always been great with me. He really has. We talk, and we just don't just talk about football. We've talked about golf a couple times, or I know one of the spots he loves to go to is Pebble Beach, California.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. You know, he's got a real good friend that I know, Bill Paracchi, who's out there. And so we've talked about stuff like that. We've talked stuff on the field. And, you know, and believe me, he's a guy that, as a coach, you want to look at and try and emulate the things that he's done. He's had a tremendous amount of success, and that's what I would love to be able to build. I mean, you talk about who's the gold standard in the NFL, and you'd have to point at the Patriots first and foremost.
Well, Ron Rivera, we had Steve Smith on the show earlier today, and the man, obviously, no stranger to talking trash on the field.
And he's a big fan of yours. He's just come out and talked about how much of a fan he is of your coach.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's done a great job as a player and now as a broadcaster. And one of the really neat things about Steve is the more you got to see him on the field, the more you appreciated the way he played, the way he prepared, the way he went out and did things. And he used to practice really hard, to the point where I tell him, hey, you know, we got to be smart about Steve's coach. If I don't practice doing it now, I'm not going to do it in the game. And I always respected that.
What was the best trash you ever heard him talk?
Oh, gosh, I can't repeat it. I mean, you know, and it's really about, his trash talk was always about, you can't stop me. You're going to do everything you can, but you can't. You know, a guy like me beating you, I mean, he really appealed to your vanity.
Yeah.
And then he crushed it. And the thing that was crazy about it was he followed it up.
Yeah. Oh, you can definitely back it up.
Right. And I feel really fortunate in my career in terms of coaching and playing and coaching. I've played alongside some of the really great players that have become Hall of Famers. I've coached some guys that have become Hall of Famers. Brian Urlacher, most notably, it was around Brian Dawkins. And I also believe Steve Smith will be a Hall of Famer, and I also believe Julius Peppers, who just announced his retirement.
I was just going to ask you about that. That happened this morning.
Yeah, it did. And you know, last night they gave me the heads up. And it's one of those things where I know he's been going back and forth in his mind, and he probably really said, you know what, now's the time. And deservedly so. When a guy has a 17-year career, accomplishes things that he's accomplished, he deserves the opportunity to go out on his own terms, and that's what he's done. He'll always be in my mind, and I was only fortunate enough to coach him for two seasons. Wish I had him for my whole coaching career in Carolina, but he'll always go down in my mind as one of the iconic Panthers, just like Steve Smith will always be an iconic Panther, you know, and I've been fortunate enough to be, like I said, around a lot of great players.
All right, Ron Rivera, are you plugging something today?
No, I'm just kind of popping around. I did Good Morning Football already for the NFL Network, did a couple other interviews. I do have an event that I have to be with for the team. You know, we do some of our marketing stuff, so I will be at one of those coming up pretty soon. But it's kind of always exciting to be here because, you know, it's funny. One thing that I think a lot of former players really should think about is the opportunity to come to the Super Bowl, because it's a culmination of a year. It's a celebration of football. And if you've played, you'll get an opportunity to see some of the guys you've played with, you've played against, and some of the guys you admired. I saw Roger Staubach walking around earlier, and, man, I'll tell you what, that was so cool.
Oh, yeah. You still get that feeling when you
see do. Yeah, I'm like fanboy with guys like that walking around. I mean, I am. It's almost embarrassing. I mean, it's like this. I promise you, if I see Tom Brady, I'll be fanboy there. Because I really do appreciate who he is as a football player. And you know, I mean, again, when you watch him play and you see the genius of who he is, I mean, that last drive against Kansas City, you know, they hit Edelman over the middle twice. So I'm thinking, okay, they're going to do something different. Sure enough, they drop a safety down to the middle to take away Edelman, and he hits Gronk.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, when you watch people play and you see the genius of what they do, and says, man, he threw behind the safety. I mean, that you know, and maybe that wasn't intentional. He was going to Gronk the whole time, but as a coach and you see those things happen and you see a player like him do those things, you think, how am I going to stop this guy? and that's the genius of him. I mean, and again, you know, I know it starts with Coach Belichick, you know, and right on through the offensive coaches to Tom. But when you watch those guys play and you watch, you know, it's like watching the defense. I mean, you see Coach Belichick's influence all over what Coach Flores is doing, and that is they play disciplined, they play smart football, and that's the appreciation of it. On the inverse, you turn around and you watch the Rams, and you see the wide-open play of their offense, you know, of what Coach McVay is trying to do with Goff and those guys. Then you watch on the defense, and you see, you know, the brilliance of Wade when you watch how he integrates his 3-4, his 30 front with his 40 front, his base defense with his nickel defense, and you think, man, this is going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Ron Rivera, thank you so much for coming by.
Appreciate it, guys.
Great stuff. We'll be right back.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Dutcher and Rich. Zolak or Bertrand, would you like to do a crossover? Anyone, crossover.
By the way, thank you to all the responses that we've had this morning.
Yeah.
Somebody sent a screen cap that is us interviewing Jerry Rice from the Twitch feed, and in the background is Jim Gray screaming at our program director.
Yes. Apparently they were in the shot the entire time.
I mean, the more I think about that, the more it's infuriating me.
After we got off the air and he started yelling at me, I was so mad I was shaking. Like, I just,
But then to like
you missed everything.
So I didn't hear, but you said that. Did he say something about you have a reputation or something?
Oh, you have a blank reputation
after the fact.
So yes,
I said to Fred. I said that means that he came into it with some sort of preconceived notion and was on the defensive.
I said the same thing because there was nothing that we said to make him so evasive, and just so standoffish. And finally, you know, we have an expectation by our listeners that if something like that happens and this is going to be a crap interview, end it. And Jerry Rice was standing right there, and we're like, you know what? Well, obviously, you don't want to do this. And we thought we were doing him a favor and doing us a favor and our listeners a favor. And he was just like, you got to be kidding me. And as soon as the mics were off, he goes, you know, you guys have a blank reputation, and you can go blah, blah, blah. And then he went off, and for like, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Like ripped into our boss?
Wow.
So say hello the next time.
Fire. Zoe and I saw him on Monday night or Tuesday night.
Jim Gray?
Yeah, I think it was Monday night.
Yeah.
And we chatted with him, I don't know, for 10 minutes or so. We were at a bar right near here. And I came away with a positive impression. I was like, wow, this guy's a really nice guy.
But
apparently he'd had a few.
Maybe that's what it takes.
Maybe he just, you know, sort of eased into the night a little bit.
Yeah.
It was late, so that may have been the case.
Yeah, you know, the guy's on the road a lot.
Here's the thing is that I feel like, you know, because there's, you know, I heard someone say, well, you know, he's going to send it to the Brady and the crowd. And then I say, we've got the audio that proves that we did nothing wrong. Like, we did nothing wrong. And I keep going back and thinking about it, and I'm getting angrier and angrier that he acted that way. So we can meet Crash.
I wouldn't worry about it.
And you can have a beer.
That's right.
We're going to meet Crash here in about 2 minutes.
Well, the good news is there's a buttload of people here right now.
Yeah, it feels busier.
I saw Mahomes just walked by. I know that
Drew Brees is floating around in the building.
Brees is a great interview.
Yeah.
We had him 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's great. On the Friday. Yeah. Yep.
Mahomes is here.
Yeah, Matt Light.
Did you guys have Ron Rivera?
Yeah, he was great.
Excellent. Yeah, was he great?
He was great.
He's Riverboat Ron.
He's one of those guys who doesn't want to leave.
Oh, you want to talk about a guy, like, he loves football. Loves football. After he got off, all he was doing was just talking about, you see, if you ever want to read which way they're going to be, like he told us, look at the safeties. When you're watching TV, look at the safeties. And that will tell you what the play is. He was like, Tony Romo. People are surprised by him. I'm like, Tony Romo. He's like, everyone knows this.
Yeah, here's how you watch football. All right, so what do you guys got planned today?
We've got Matthew Slater's dad coming on.
Jackie.
Today.
There it is.
I'm big fat Jackie.
We're just one of them. Yeah, oh, we have to play play that.
You've got to ram it.
We have to play that.
Okay, so I interviewed Slater at Media Night, and I asked him, I was like, you know, your dad was part of the most, one of the greatest Super Bowl shuffle ripoffs. He goes, ram it. I said, do you ever, like, play that for him? And he goes, oh, yeah, he hates it. He said he hates it, and I always play it for him just to kind of bust on him a little bit. So apparently he's embarrassed by how it came out.
Armed with that information.
Yep.
And we'll say it was a gift from his son.
It's great. He goes, he loves to, like, razz him about it. And he, I guess that the way it came out, they all looked at it and were like, whoa, we're all grinding, and it's called Ram It. Not sure if we should have done this.
Yeah, so he's coming on. He was going to come – he was scheduled for – the start of the show, but we're going to move him to, I guess, just after 11.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else?
Maurice Jones-Drew today, solely because he has taken shots at Zoe. He's called Zoe a homer.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Maurice Jones-Drew?
Yeah.
He's called Zoe a homer?
He called Zoe a homer.
Oh, well, come on. That's just
apparently
unfair.
Maurice Jones-Drew has really good stories about Slater. About
really?
Matthew Slater. I think the two of them were roommates in college.
Okay, so we got him.
Yeah.
A lot of big Slater theme developing today. Brent Musburger is going to call us today.
Oh, get a little gambling.
His, yeah, a little gambling on his thoughts on the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
Hall of Famer Rod Woodson is today.
Wow.
Jenny McCarthy in the noontime hour today.
Do you have to take a Wahlberg with that?
Possibly.
Okay.
We don't know yet. We'll see how it goes. We're not sure who's going to be here with
us. You can get immediate chemistry with her by telling her you haven't gotten your kids vaccinated yet.
Yeah. She really,
I'm going to say, right, maybe we'll start that. Jenny, what do you make of the measles outbreak? What do you think of that? Good conversation.
Sure.
All right. Well, you guys have
Phil
a
Perry,
great day.
RJ Bell, and Jonathan Kraft is going to be here today.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent.
Very good.
That is a hell of a lineup.
Yeah,
you guys have a great day. Thank you for everyone over here at the Super Bowl for helping out. You want to go around the room here?
Yes.
We have Josh. We have
I'm a nice man.
It always throws me off. We have Josh, Mike Thomas, our program director, has done a very good job.
Where's Tim? There
Tim
he is.
Saskowitz in the back, sure.
All right, so thank you, everyone. Rick Radzik, the whole crew. That'll do it for us.
We'll hopefully talk to you Monday with drunk audio from people on the streets.
Bye-bye.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.